guys to sort of justify what they want to believe, and then they pick and choose from what the consultants report, so that they pay these guys a lot of money to essentially tell them what they want to hear, and they don't really learn anything in the process at all.
When's the next meeting for people who are watching this to want to come to? Or let's put it this way, I guess the input on the EIR, which is this is the means for the public to
raise questions. The level it is at this point. The EIR review period ends May 26th, which is only about 3 weeks away. Anybody can address any element of the plan, the EIR to the plan, the environmental impact review to the plan, or any impact of the boardwalk, anything like that can be written in you know, whatever form, longhand if you want to, or if you can get to a typewriter, cool, but that's not necessary, and it just has to go to Seal Cirillo, Redevelopment Agency. I think actually it could also be sent to Mayor Celia Scott, but any of that gets folded into the EIR response and has to be responded to as part of the EIR process, and we're really hoping that the community will come out and say, hey, you know, this really does jam up our streets, and we can watch our air quality deteriorate on any sunny Saturday or Sunday, and we're sick of picking up their damn fast food containers, and they're a rude bunch of disrespectful slobs who piss in our yards. You know, so whatever the perspective is, I hope people will say it, because we know that this thing has an impact that extends well beyond the beach flats. Anybody up and down the Ocean Street corridor is negatively impacted. Anybody that's got to cross that corridor on a Saturday or a Sunday, or when July and August gets here, it's practically 7 days a week, and the nighttime activities at the boardwalk jam up the evenings till midnight. You know, there's a lot of impacts on a lot of people, and it's not necessary. And when I look at with the money that it generates to the city, it just is not worth it
now,
on
Phil,
any sort of business sense.
Phil, can,
not to
can
mention
folks,
environmental.
Can folks give you a call if
yes,
they want
sir, that
to
would
get
be
more specifics
423-0170.
It's Phil Baer at 423-0170. And are you part of an association or organization interested in
that? Oh, we've got a couple of groups. There's a Beach Flats working group that you might want to call. I don't know what that
well,
number
why don't we,
is.
Why don't we again just put out your number for the moment, and then people can call you and get
yes,
that
yes, sir. That would do.
423-0170.
You got it, Robert.
That's Phil Baer. And Phil, I want to thank you.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to vent some spleen here.
Well, it sounds like you're expressing some strong feelings, but they're certainly laced with information, which I think people will find useful. Is there another hearing coming up that people should know about?
Not that I know about. Another failure of the process.
Maybe
there'll
be a
huge plan with an inadequate public hearing process. That's a problem right in itself.
Well, maybe there'll be a Saturday night midnight hearing.
Let us hope so. I think I know what you have in mind, and it sounds good.
Well, no, what I meant, of course, was that the City Council may choose to have another one of these strange off-time hearings.
Yes, right, in some obscure location.
Yes, possibly down in, you know, under the Ferris wheel, who knows?
Well, I don't think they'd want to. That's too dangerous.
Yeah, you couldn't
it
have your
falls every once in a while.
You wouldn't want your skateboard or your bike with you. It will be held for 24 hours if you were a bad boy.
Yes, right. I was just talking to a person who's got a million-dollar lawsuit against the boardwalk because they're, as he referred to them, goons.
I think you're talking about Shaz.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we were talking about him earlier. Well, listen, Phil, thank you. I'm going to run because we only have 20 minutes left of the show, and we're going to try to get in a few more calls.
Well, thanks again, Bob.
All right, then.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Phil Baer, community activist from the Beach Flats. And again, if you want to reach Phil to get more information, to have him go over the Beach Flat story with a fine-tooth comb. He's got all the documents. He's probably going blind from reading them too many times. 423-0170. If you want to comment on this situation, you want to get on the air and talk to us, we're at 423 here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 423-5361. So you got all kinds of choices, and in fact, here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, good evening, Mr. North. How are you doing?
I'm good. Sounds like Bob LaMonica.
Yeah, sure is. Hi.
Hi, Bob.
Nice slipping you down the air. I think that it might be interesting to separate redevelopment from development. Redevelopment being that which is subsidized and that which eminent domain is used to accomplish a development goal. Development, I don't think, is necessarily bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a property owner's right. The issue of subsidy is, of course, very interesting in this context. We are so subsidized thoroughly that we don't look at it. The interesting issue to me recently is, of course, the school bond measures here in Santa Cruz. Measure E and H are essentially tax-free interest income for wealthy people. I mean, that's what a bond is. So, therefore, we're subsidizing income for the wealthiest Americans in the name of a civic project like schools. So this happens across the board. Homeowners get mortgage interest deduction, right, on their homeowner's loan
mm-hmm.
that they can deduct from their taxes. The subsidies all over the place. So this has been going on for quite a while, and it tends to muddy the distinctions between government and private interests.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Phil talked a lot about the cost-benefit analysis that came up in today's 3 p.m. City Council meeting around the Beach Flats redevelopment plan, and the redevelopment seems to involve seizing a lot of property, and actually I'm not sure if it's eminent domain. I guess some of it will be eminent domain.
Sure it will be.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how it's done.
Right.
And they get funds, of course. Redevelopment agencies get to tap into federal funds and other funds that are available for these kinds of agencies. So it's a very muddy situation. I think it may have some good legitimacy to it. I don't think development is bad, I don't think the Seaside Company necessarily is bad per se. People come from over the hill; they come from all over to go to the boardwalk, and it does bring revenue into the city, not just the city tax coffers, but the city in general.
Well. Thank you, Bob. I'm going to hurry you off the air because I've got a quick interview to get in the last 15 minutes of my show, but is there anything you want to conclude with?
Well, I've been listening to your show since the beginning. You made a comment about a Puerto Rican independence activist.
Yes.
Right. You know, Puerto Rico has been essentially in Commonwealth status since after the Spanish-American War, 1898, when it was ceded to America. It's been semi-autonomous Commonwealth since then. There have been regular plebiscites over many, many decades, and each time the plebiscite comes up, it is reasserted that the plurality of Puerto Ricans wish to maintain Commonwealth status.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might change someday, but I think that the appropriate way to go is to let the people of Puerto Rico have a choice.
An issue for another show, but I thank you for your view, Bob.
You bet. Thank you very much for letting me call.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's a whole another issue I think we should get into. But the phone lines are actually ringing today. So,
hi caller, you're on the air.
Hi Robert, let me turn off my radio real fast.
Okay.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So I have a bit of a plea to the public who's listening right now. I have an idea for a benefit concert that will basically bring the public awareness as to what's happening with the Third Street expansion idea and the expansion of the boardwalk.
You're talking about the Seaside Company's sellout plan?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm calling to for your public listeners, if anyone is interested in helping coming up with the initial money to put down to secure the venue, they will have it returned to them.
You're talking about the venue for a concert, right?
Exactly.
A benefit concert, huh?
Exactly. And having tables of the local organizations that are involved in bringing the awareness, having what Philip said before, that anyone can ask questions, and the city must answer all these questions before they can proceed. So hopefully this evening will, you know, allow people to do the writing right there. We can deliver it to City Hall and hopefully jam them with about 3,000 questions,
uh-huh.
Which might slow down the time that the boardwalk has. Excuse me, not the boardwalk, but City Hall is...
trying to rush the thing through.
Exactly. I mean, as far as I can see, it seems like City Hall has already made up its mind. They spent, you know, all these years planning it. They want it. They're going to go ahead and go through with it and steamroll everybody who gets in the way. So hopefully this will bring awareness. It'll allow people to meet, brainstorm, some good reggae music, and all I need is the money to secure the building.
Well, why don't you give your name and number? Maybe folks can call in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa?
Lisa?
And my phone number is 423-9843.
423-9843. Give a call to Lisa.
Exactly, and it just turns out that there is an opening. The benefit show is for the 23rd of this month at Palookaville.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows all the questions to be written and raised and turned in before the 26th, which is the cutout date for the City Hall to receive any type of public questions or comments that they have to respond to.
So you can dance as you write.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Have a great time. And I wish I could give you a lot more on it. If anybody has any questions, feel free to call me. If you're sparked or jazzed by the idea, please call me.
Again, your phone number is?
423-9843.
423-9843.
Yes, and for anyone who does bring forth the money to secure the venue, you will have it returned that night at the door when we get the money. And part of the money will be donated to the legal fund that is working to basically return the public lands, which is now a boardwalk parking lot, back to the public.
That's great.
And so, yeah, so if you can, I mean, 10 people, it's quite a bit of money. 10 people at $50, one person at $1,500, three people at $500, however it comes, 100 people at $5. If it's worthwhile to you to, like, have this evening, it's definitely worthwhile to me. Wake Santa Cruz up on the situation, and hopefully it'll come off.
All right, so give Lisa a call at 423-9843.
Yes.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot, Robert.
Sure, and keep calling in. Remember, I'm not the only show.
Remember, to if you want a PSI like Lisa has, you can leave a PSI here for Free Radio at 427-4523, and we can play that at different times. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, the closing minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and we're now going to try to get in touch with, as promised, the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, TRUSC.
Hi, Robert. Hi there. I think we're on the line with the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz.
Yes, you are. This is Marco.
Sounds like a Marvelous Marco.
Yes, it is.
And so what's happening, Marvelous Marco?
We are in the midst of trying to get support for grants and funding. We're going to San Francisco next week to for an interview for funding from them. We passed the first test, and we were granted an interview. So that's looking pretty good.
How's the track record in court? I ran into a couple of folks who were fighting their landlord today, in fact.
Well, the track records have been pretty good. A lot of people have been defending themselves well. They're going to legal aid and senior legal services. Have been doing a good job there. And people in ProPer have been having some pretty good victories.
Any notorious cases coming up that we should know about, or any unusual things that have happened you want to comment on?
Oh, not at the moment.
Okay. You're still kind of making the rounds, dealing with all the unlawful detainers that come up, sending them postcards, offering them information?
Yes. And we're averaging 40 something a month. Last month, I think it was 43. It was really high in January. It was 58.
Are you getting more respect from the courts these days? They probably recognize you in the audience now, right?
Well, yes. I believe there's a lot of recognition. And
you can't say you don't get no respect.
No, we can't say that.
Particularly with Scott Kennedy on your team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot more than Scott Kennedy.
Yes, no. I mean, with the City Council actually doing something right for a change by giving you an appropriation to get you into this building across from the courthouse and the jail, right?
Yes.
Is that happening? Are you about to go into that building? Or?
Well, now there's an interesting... Should we talk about this?
Sure. Not much time left, but go ahead.
Well, the sheriff all of a sudden wants it.
The sheriff wants it? What, he wants to set up an annex to the jail, perhaps?
Some sort of maybe work release or other program. So we have to reconnoiter.
You know, that was a building that Homes Not Jails was considering taking over by force.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I should say by simply force of human bodies, because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't being used. And there, of course, is completely inadequate shelter in Santa Cruz, as I've talked about endlessly on this program. So does the sheriff essentially bulldoze the city, the county supervisors, into saying no to that building? Or?
Well, they already had an agreement years ago, and we already knew this up front.
Oh, I see. So?
So we were half expecting.
So you're looking for another building.
Yeah, and we have a couple of good offers for some rentals. But right now we're doing fine out of our virtual office. Mm-hmm. We would like to have an office soon, but we don't have the funds for it. That's why we're hustling around for grant money, foundation mm-hmm. money. Money from the local government, since we're quasi-governmental agency now, as designated by Mike Rodkin mm-hmm. at the City Council. So that opens up some doors for us, and we see within the next year us having at least 500 dues-paying members, and that should...
How is that coming? How many dues-paying members do you have now?
We have close to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when we make an effort to go out canvassing, we prototyped a canvassing program recently, and we've been able to get on the average of four new members in 3 hours. It's almost like one every 45 minutes
hmm.
in canvassing. So there's a lot of potential in that. We're going to be set up at the flea market. And we'll be doing some canvassing at the flea market.
Mm-hmm.
I have a table set up there. So we have to go out there and earn money from the membership. For every dollar that comes in from the membership, we can possibly get money from grants and foundations.
How can people join the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz?
Well, they can call us at 426-0644.
426-0644.
Mm-hmm. And send us checks at some checks. Right? $12, $24, or $36, or $50.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1, $2, or $3 a month. And send it to P.O. Box 7484, Santa Cruz, 95061.
So give a call to Marco at 426-0644 for...
Marco or Donna.
Or Donna.
Mm-hmm.
To get that number, or that address repeated. And also, if you're having problems as a tenant, or maybe as a landlord, if you wish to offer your expertise, or as an attorney, or resource, if you want to help out, I'm sure you can still use some help.
We need volunteers desperately to help us with that, all phases of the project. So anybody wanting to participate in this on the ground floor is wide open.
We assume you will be, of course, trotting over on May 8th tomorrow to the Let the Homeless and Migrants Sleep Benefit Concert Rally Dance
oh, yes.
at the Veterans Hall at 7 o'clock.
I think I'll be doing security and maybe end up collecting tickets.
Excellent. So you can...
And
so
I'll be dancing, too.
So you... You'll be able to see this dancing fool and get that advice as a on tenant landlord matters, even as you wander around trying to pierce through the gloom of the Veterans Memorial Building.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun that night.
All right.
All right, so I'll see you all there.
Hey, thank you, Marco.
Bye-bye, Rob. Bye.
Indeed. Remember, don't forget to show up May 8th, where you're going to be able to hear Mark Levy, Wellspring, Keith McHenry, Just Kidding, Carol Denny, and see the Rascals doing their rascally UCSC skits, Human Beings Are Not Litter, and finally the infamous Slow Gherkin Band, which will be, you do the jerkin to Slow Gherkin, or do some fast jerkin. I mean, I don't care what you do. Just show up tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Building to dance your doodahs off, with a few bucks in your pockets to help the Sleeping Band Initiative get on the ballot. Also, for those of you who are headed Berkeley Way on the 10th, on Sunday, there's going to be a 29th anniversary concert up there celebrating People's Park, or as the flyer says, holy shit, it's that time again for the People's Park. It's music by Caribbean All-Stars, Reggae Angels, Funky Nixons, Klondiken, Culture of Rage, and you're also going to get to see the infamous Explicit Players. Those are the moody guys and girls that went around Berkeley and successfully stopped the council from changing the law, and also from prosecuting them. They believe it's okay to show peonies and pussies, and I think that's commendable. Food Not Bombs will be at this People's Park 29th anniversary concert and street fair. It's Sunday, May 10th. Goes from noon to 6. They encourage you to bring a smile or get one there. That's the People's Park Sunday concert. After, of course, you've gone to the Sleeping Band Initiative concert at the Veterans Hall tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Well, we're just about at the end of our time here. We have a little time to play a snippet or two, but I guess because our time is so limited, I'll instead do a little talking. I was out of town when the headline hit, but I knew about it before, as I mentioned earlier in the show. The headline in the Sentinel, Gillette Quits Homeless Center, with a picture of Karen Gillette above the fold. Big headline here, opposition during merger spurred move, advocate says. You may have heard on the show that there was also a petition making the rounds trying to eliminate Huff members from the board of directors of the new organization, or the combination of the CCH and the Homeless Community Resource Center, the two groups that were merging, and that Karen was going to head. It wasn't clear where this petition came from, but we were told on, well, and if it was reliable or not, we were told by two different people that it came from Karen Gillette herself. When I left her a message asking for either a confirmation or a denial, she didn't get back to me, so I can't really tell you what her point of view is on it. And so it's not really clear who is trying to control the makeup of the new board. But apparently, well, it's not clear actually what's happening. It could be that Karen didn't like the fact that several board members questioned her. Actually, it was a formerly homeless board member questioned her, as did another member talking about the fact that Karen Gillette had held closed meetings for years of her board, and that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless was generally on record as favoring open meetings. I mean, after all, if you got homeless in your, if you're a homeless community resource center, as Karen's board is supposed to be covering, or you're a Citizens Committee for the Homeless, as the CCH board is, these are the two boards that are merging, then you want to let homeless people get in there. If not on the board of directors, and there are narrow homeless members on Karen Gillette's board of directors, then at least have them be able to get in the door to hear what's going on. But that has not been her modus operandi, unless, of course, you get specifically clear it through her, which I have no statistics on how many people have been able to do that, but I know she has refused to give out public times and places of her board meetings. And apparently now, when they one of the requirements of this merger was there be open board meetings, perhaps she can't stand the idea of open board meetings. Kind of a naive view, because if she gets a board that is compliant to her, and apparently they're going to cut, they were going to cut back the number of people on the new joint boards, she could probably get them to reverse that decision and close the meetings again. You know, I mean, it's actually kind of academic, because open or closed, these board members don't pay much attention to the public usually, so it's not really a big deal. But it and it may have nothing at all whatsoever to do with her decision. There was also talk on the streets that she was requiring her to be drug tested or talking about her drug use. She got a story in the paper about how she admitted to be using pot, and this outraged some right-wing merchants. Well, anybody in the community has the right to use marijuana, smoke recreationally or medicinally, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a complete non-issue. Use of other drugs, unless it affects the behavior of the person involved, is also a non-issue, and I've said this repeatedly. On the other hand, there were those who claimed that Gillette allowed her staff to sell drugs and then threw other people off who did the same. This was actually complaints brought to me by several people. I don't know. I think this whole nonsense around drugs is something that has made me extremely tired for years, and I get sick to my stomach when I even approaching the issue. Still, the question of kind of preferential treatment has been a theme of criticism of Karen Gillette at the Homeless Community Resource Center. My concerns about her has been her hostility toward activists in the past, and even extending into the present, where she has, as I said, kept her meetings closed, primarily to bar me, at least according to the Metro Santa Cruz a year ago, is what she said.
We've even tried to keep you off the air.
Indeed. In fact, I'm about to be dragged out of the studio here by the vicious Uncle Dennis, that man about the redwoods who's going to bring the scenty scent, the smell of those big, gushy trees through your radio. Already I'm up choking to you. At Free Radio Santa Cruz. So let's go out on this last song here. You'll be able to join me again on Sunday, of course, at Free Radio Santa Cruz at 11 o'clock, where I will be doing a 2.5-hour version of Bathroom Spears Broadsides with Tom Reveille. He'll be my co-host for part of the time, showing you what it means to do a community activist show. He's going to hope you all tune in and start complaining big time. This last song is from Les Miserables, the musical, and it kind of brings to mind my city council. It's about a corrupt innkeeper, and in a way, that kind of brings to mind certain other figures that I know, and we all know of and love. Thanks for staying tuned, and do stay tuned for Uncle Dennis for his Earth First show.
Welcome, monsieur, sit yourself down and meet the best innkeeper in town. As for the rest, all of them crooks, rooking the guests and cooking the books. Seldom do you see honest men like me, a gent of good intent, who's content to be master of the house, doling out the charm, ready with a handshake and an open palm. Turns a saucy tail, makes a little stir, customers appreciate a bon vivant, glad to do a friend a favor. Doesn't cost me to be nice, but nothing gets you nothing, everything has got a little price. Master of the house, keeper of the zoo, ready to relieve him of a soup or two. Watering the wine, making up the wait, picking up the knickknacks when they can't see straight. Everybody loves the landlord, everybody's bosom friend. I do whatever pleases, Jesus, won't I bleed him in the end?
Master of the house, quick to catch your eye, never watch a passerby to passing by. Servant to the poor, butler to the great, comfort of a philosopher and lifelong mate. Everybody's boon companion, everybody's chaperone.
But lock up your valises, Jesus, won't I skin you to the bone? Enter, monsieur, lay down your load, unlace your boots, rest from the road. This weighs a ton, travel's a curse, but here we strive to lighten your purse. Here the goose is cooked, here the fat is fried, and nothing's overlooked till I'm satisfied. Food beyond compare, food beyond belief, mix it in a mixer and pretend it's death. Kidney of a horse, liver of a cat, filling up the sausages with this and that. Residents are more than welcome, bridal suite is occupied, reasonable charges plus some little extras on the side. Charge for the lights, extra for the mics, 2% for looking in the mirror twice. Here a little slice, there a little cut, 3% for sleeping with the window shut. When it comes to fixing prices, there are lots of tricks he knows. How it all increases, all the bits and pieces, Jesus, it's amazing how it swells.
Yes, sir. It's time for Bad Brooks Field Broadside. Civil rights. Lots of talk. Some music. We're going to call in for the next 2.5 hours. I'm your host, Bad Brooks Field, Bobby Morris. Stay with us. Call in. Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call in number 423-5361.
Around the clock, Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a win.
And you are indeed tuned to 96.3, as you probably know just by looking at your dial. Free Radio Santa Cruz. And we're going to be covering a number of things today. If I am able to keep up with the show, I've got a low fever and I'm recovering from a cold, as you may hear from my cranky voice. But stay with me, and maybe you can substitute your voice for mine. I'm expecting lots of call-ins, and you get a chance to do lots of the talking, because I'm kind of pooped today. And again, the call-in number for this Bathrobe Spears Broadsides show is 423-5361. And we do have lines open even now. If you want to set us up for a whole show of talk along lines that you'd be interested in. Our general theme is civil rights for poor people. Civil rights generally. We cover issues of police misconduct, the drug prohibition war, homelessness, as well as other items. We have a city council meeting coming up on Tuesday. I'm going to be giving you a briefing on that. We have a couple folks in jail. I talked about Chris Brozda, sometimes known as Crosswires Chris because of his off-the-beam actions, and sometimes as Crossroads Chris because he is his writings are often pungent and to the point around homeless rights issues. There's the Karen Gillette affair, which we're going to be following. That's, of course, the resignation of Day Center. I guess it's not called the Day Center anymore. It's called the Homeless Community Resource Center. And it even has a new name because the Homeless Community Resource Center is merging with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, or may well be. That's going to happen in the next week. That decision is going to be made. Anyway, Gillette resigned, as some of you may know. Front page news in the Sentinel. And it's been talked about a bit on the streets. I've been picking up bits of conversation here and there. We can talk about that if you want. We're also hoping to have as a guest Tom Reveille. Tom has a particular idea for a show, which he discussed several weeks ago. He's an early broadcaster who actually did free radio down in Venice in the early 90s before Free Radio Santa Cruz, Free Radio Berkeley, and the recent cycle of free radio shows and stations began. It was shut down by the FCC rather brutally, and he talked about that, I guess, about a month ago. And he's gotten his own idea for a show, and if he comes in, we're going to be kind of using his approach, which is to use the radio to talk about problems that the audience has in a very active way. So it's not just a kind of a moaning or a bemoaning or even an analysis, but what can we do now? Like, what can we do today and tomorrow and the next day to deal with problems of police misconduct in this particular case and so forth? Kind of scheming on the ear. At least that's, I guess, how I see what he's proposing. In Santa Monica, San Diego, and San Jose, demonstrations are on the move. In San Diego, there have been homeless people 70 to 100 strong in front of their city hall since March 15th. And we'll probably be bringing you an update on that. They are demanding basic shelter because it's illegal in San Diego, as in other towns, to be outside at night sleeping if you are not in a shelter. And if they don't have shelters, it simply puts everybody, as it does in Santa Cruz, under its sleeping ban in an illegal status who can't find shelter. And the city has plenty of money. In fact, they're trolling to bring in more sports arenas instead of dealing with the housing needs of not just the homeless people, but even the city's more well-off, low-income population, if that isn't a contradiction in terms. In San Jose, on Monday, I was told by Trouble Tracker Ann Turner of the California Homeless Civil Rights Action Network up there, there's going to be a march from the Community Homeless Alliance Ministries Church on 80 South 5th Street to the mayoral debates. That's going to start at 6 o'clock on Monday for any of you who want to go and shake up the town a bit in San Jose and support those who are, again, trying to get people off the streets, or at least harassed if they are on, not harassed if they're on the streets. And then again, that's Monday in San Jose, a march at 6 o'clock. We may be running a caravan on that if my health improves and if there's enough interest. And if you're interested in any of these subjects, you can, of course, call on air to discuss them at 423-5361. That's our studio line. Or you can call off air. You can call the line that I have. It's HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the number is, appropriately enough, 423-HUFF-4833. In Santa Monica, demonstrations in front of City Hall began on Friday to dramatize the importance of the city's continuing to support Section 8 housing, which apparently they backed away from. And Section 8 housing is federally supported low-income or very low-income housing, which perhaps we can get one of our housing experts to call in on. I myself always a little bit confused about the distinctions here. In fact, wow, even as I speak, the telephone seems to be ringing. Let's see who we've got on the line.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, I'm no housing expert. Excuse me, my voice is kind of bad. I'm going to burn out.
It sounds like David Silva to me.
Yeah, we had a big shebang Friday night. You know, a lot of it worked pretty hard.
Now, David, you're a worker with the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. You had a big shindig.
Yeah. Very big shoe. Very exhausting. All of us that volunteered are pretty burned out. But we shall recover. And starting tomorrow,
hey, you're
we'll
listening
be having
live,
to
tell the
city.
Truth, and it's about
to get the petition going again. But what I'm calling about is the
Simus Vulgaris,
specific,
same name as
the Beach Area Development. That's the one that has the most false promises and has the biggest impact in terms of housing.
Of the urban
a lot of the development's going on in terms of robbing the city of
affirming
of being able to be in the category of sustainable water. But the Beach Lab is the big illusion and the big lie.
I'm
calling
in
to say,
rushing to
housing
your
for
head.
Whom and when. That's the question that's unanswered.
Actually, we've been talking about this subject a lot in the last few programs.
I've been pretty busy.
We hope to talk later to... I'm certainly glad you're calling in. We hope to talk later to Bill Baer. He's actually at home probably listening to us even as we speak.
It's a poisonous plant.
An activist in the Beach Flats. Who's really been concerned
and
with this Seaside Company giveaway plan that's rolling right ahead.
Particularly,
we're going to be talking about how the media is covering it. We kind of talked about the Third Street realignment, the fantasy of housing that they're kind of dangling before us as a carrot.
If you can live for 4 years on 3 months rent, you'll actually be able to have a slightly nicer home.
Mm-hmm. That would be quite a feat. We talked about the water situation there, how there's no water to do this. We've talked about, I guess last show, Phil and I discussed the fact that
elderly women
they're assuming it's going to be a $2 million expenditure for $88,000 a year revenue, and any other revenues may be coming in sort of uncertain.
When we all appear,
well, it's definitely corporate welfare. You know, I don't see the Seaside Company paying for the Third Street realignment.
The Bioneers program, which is the national.
We've begun to talk about this, and of course, I guess there's a series of meetings coming up.
Healthcare products, herbs,
I kind of hope you might even, you're our man who usually looks at the City Council agenda, and we of course have the City Council on Tuesday.
There's a meeting May 16th.
Have been cured.
On the Beach Flat.
After they've been given up as
Where is that?
So it was a very
good
experience to talk
to them about
their gratitude for having been introduced to this cure. And I am quite certain that the active constituent of the formula was the amount of hope that Oxy used in the remedy. But this has not been picked up by conventional science.
Let me interrupt you, David, because I understand that we're having a transmission quality problem.
Okay.
So let me turn to a little music and ask you to call back in a few minutes, if you will.
Sure, it's just not my froggy voice from the cold.
I don't think so. Mr. Frog, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Another destiny, this never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time, one day more.
I took my love until today. How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away. and yet with you my world has started.
And that's Les Miserables, one of the great songs. But we actually are back on the air and on the phone, hoping that we are getting a clear transmission. We're talking to Skidmark Bob. Hi, Bob. Are we? I don't think we're coming through here, Bob.
I don't hear anything on the air through the phone now.
Here we are. Bring it up more.
The utilization of
there you go. I think that's working now. Right, but I think we have a blur from another station as well,
China,
unfortunately.
And it's coming through the phone line, right?
I think so. Well, it's coming on the air.
Yeah.
And,
we'll bring the phone down and see if you're still
book
here.
Is now published.
Oh, it's through the phone line.
Oh,
yeah, I think we're screwed with the phone lines today, folks.
Yeah, I hear like an AM station or something.
Yeah, folks, my apologies. I'm on the microphone now. Our phone lines are at Free Radio Santa Cruz seem to be a little bit cross-wired, and so it looks like those people who are waiting to call in by phone until one of our excellent mechanics gets down here to work on it, we're going to have to hold off on the phones. I guess I can't. We have Skidmark Bob on the phone, but we can't hear him, unfortunately. I can hear him, but you can't. He's one of our roundabout musical mechanics. Well, Bob, you're likely to be coming in soon, and maybe we can get some help with the phone lines. Until then, I'll just try to cover bases myself here. All right, thank you. Cool. Well, that's a major bummer, as we say, because we were expecting to get a really good report from Phil Baer, not to mention David Silva. That may have to wait, although perhaps within the hour we can get this problem fixed. Until then, however, you're going to have to, or we're all going to have to hang tough, listen to, we've got some stuff in the studio we can play for you, and we also have some interesting material that I wanted to bring to your attention. There's a meeting coming up on Monday, another one of those Citizens Police Review Board meetings. That's the body that was created by the Santa Cruz City Council 3 or 4 years ago, supposedly to provide some kind of independent check on the police department. There was a lot of concern in the early 90s when, for example, Officer, now Sergeant Butchie Sticky Fingers Baker, as I call him, was, for example, accused of molesting 10 women, sexually mistreating them as he searched them and sort of gratuitous fondling and squeezing and that sort of thing. And just general misconduct. And indeed, the city council itself pushed an investigation, which they quickly closed down. And Baker was, of course, cleared by the police department itself, by the attorney general's office, and I believe by the district attorney's office. I don't think the grand jury ever did an investigation, but I'm not sure about that. In any case, this review board was set up to deal with it. And we talked to John Malkin, who was on the board and resigned from the board because the board itself showed itself unwilling to stand up for the basic rights of citizens, and not even that, they wouldn't even stand up for its own members. And when John Malkin was harassed by the police, investigated, as you heard, when Sergeant Joe Clark investigated him, he was ignored. The board ignored him, and they ignored his concerns. His complaint wasn't even considered. So we have a situation with the CPRB coming up. Let me play a little music now, because I have an incoming phone call which I'd like to share with you, but as I said, our phones are not working. Let's turn again to a little of Les Miserables.
Shall I join my brother when our names begin to fall? little boys, they will wet themselves. They know.
Watch your animal, catch them as they fall. Never know your love when there's a free for all. Here, little dip, there, little touch. Both of them are gone, so they won't miss much.
One day, two, a new beginning.
That's One Day More from the musical Les Miserables, the English version. Originally, of course, it was in French. Wonderful musical that